In his introduction to Nachal Esam, Chaim Kanievsky quotes from the Sefer Chassidim that just as there's a concept in halacha of a meis mitzvah, you have a meis who has no one to take care of him, so there's a special mitzvah to care for a meis who has no one, no kovrim. So too, Sefer Chassidim writes, there's a special mitzvah to learn halakim of Torah that people are not paying attention to. A part of Torah that people pay less attention to, that's less popular, is an added mitzvah to seize upon it. Sometimes what's afoot is that fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown is not only when it comes to events, when it comes to like new practical situations they haven't handled yet, or people I haven't met yet, or places I haven't been yet, that's all true. There's also fear of the unknown in terms of intellectual fear of the unknown. The part of Torah I haven't yet learned, so it seems scary and it seems spooky. And indeed, there's some truth to that, because if you don't have a basic orientation, so then everything is harder. And there's so much basic knowledge you don't have. We grew up knowing certain basic halachas of Moed or Chaim. Nashim Nezikin, maybe we don't know so much the halachic data coming in, but at least the cases are somewhat familiar. We've seen damage before, we've seen marriage before, we've met men and women before. The basic data is familiar. When you start learning Kachim, all of a sudden everything is unfamiliar. Not only if you have not yet been wise enough to expand your basic base of knowledge through learning Chumash Mishnayos, so a lot of the halachic principles, or even the basics that would be taken for granted, are unknown to us. And the realia are totally unfamiliar. When we know the elements of Bo Nashim Zikim, the elements of Kachim, it's foreign. And so it becomes scary. And then it sort of breeds, the unfamiliarity breeds more for unfamiliarity, because every time I come across it, so I'm learning through the first parak of Bava Kama, there's an important sugya of dichoy, and of different levels of kedusha, and I sort of skip it over because I'm not really sure what to make of it. So I'd love to spend the next couple of minutes demystifying Kachem. We're about to begin Chumash Vayikra, so let's, now is the perfect time. This is the official, the one yomi, the one ongoing limud das mamash adin, is trying to make a vecha targum. So al pidin, this week we're supposed to begin learning kachem. Maybe we'll start with a little bit of introduction to lay out some basic concepts to demystify the upcoming parshios, and bechlal to demystify kachem for us and to give us entree into this whole world of halacha. And I would add one more element, in addition to the fact that kachem is in a sense a meis mitzvah. One of the parts of halacha that certainly until 100 years ago was very muznach. The Chafetz Chaim and to an extent the Soloveitchik family changed that somewhat, made Kachim somewhat less scary. The Chafetz Chaim in particular was very concerned with to what extent is our Tzipia LiYeshua real. He has actually a kuntras called Tzipisa LiYeshua, where he talks about what it means to be serious about hoping for Mashiach. So if you really hope for Mashiach, you would want to be equipped to handle a new Mashiach reality. Imagine the Beis HaMikdash opens for business. Now what? What do you do? How do you start? So he worked very hard to popularize the learning of Kachem. He wrote Svarim, his own Svarim, republished older Svarim to make learning Kachem possible. And he also really started a movement to bring it back, and spoke extensively about the concept of Unushalma Parim Sefasenu. The Gemara derives from a pasuk in Treyasar that if we don't have Parim, if we can't bring Karbanos, Unushalma Parim Sefasenu, that we can pay for the Parim that we cannot bring with our lips. The learning about Kachim is second best to actually, in some sense, compensates partially for not being able to actually bring the Karbanos. And while some of the Rishonim assume that applies to all areas of halacha that one's not practically able to keep, the Smak, Sefer Mitzvah Katan, writes in his Hagdama, any mitzvah doesn't apply to me, if I learn about it, I'll have an Oshalma Parmesos type of partial fulfillment, the Chafetz Chaim and others assume that's unique to Kachim. That perhaps is why it is Bavli on Kachim, while not on Zraim and Taurus. That's what some suggest. Moed, Nashim, Zikin is Bavli on the Masechtos because they're all Nogei Alamaisa. Yerushalmi has Talmud on all of Zraim because that was relevant to Lamasa and Eretz Yisrael. Zraim and Taurus, by and large, don't have Bavli, with the exception of Brachas and Nida, because the rest of those Siddharm are not relevant for Maisa. How about Kachim? There is Bavli on Kachim, and Rambam records in his Akadamah to Mishnayis, there was Yerushalmi on Kachim, which was lost over the last number of centuries. So how come? That's not no more relevant Lamasa than Taros, or than Zraim and Chutzlaretz. So some suggest that Kachim is relevant to Lamaisa because of Nishalma Parim Sosena. That perhaps they did, the Amoraim spent time learning all of Shas, but they spent more time learning things which are Lamaisa. But they saw Kachim as Lamaisa because if I can't bring a Paraduma, learning about Paraduma might not be a partial fulfillment of that. Still a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But learning about Zvachim and Menachos and Bechoros and so forth is not only a chelik of Talmud Torah, but is a partial fulfillment of the mitzvahs that we're going to be laning over the next couple of weeks. So with that in mind, let's lay out some of the basic foundations, some of the basic categories of thought that can help us as we move forward, hopefully, in our limud of Kachrim in the next couple of weeks and the next couple of decades. And the first thing you have to know is that when something is set aside, almost every single time that something serves as a carbon, with the exception perhaps of a bechor, the process begins with kiddush pet. The process begins by designation, by being makdish, something to say, and this item is going to be kodesh in the following fashion. It's going to be kodesh, it's going to be designated, as Tosis reminds us, bezon bezin in kiddushin, that to be makdish is to designate something for a particular purpose. So you designate it, it's going to be kodesh for the following purpose. And hakadasha, ironically, you know, Kachim begins with big mesechtos, zvachim and menachos, which are all about how you process the carbon, what you do with the animal once it is a carbon. The initial step of making something kadosh really comes up later, and more tangentially, largely in mesechtos temura, here and there some other mesechtos also. But it begins with hakadosh. Now when you're makdish something, you can makdish something broadly in one of two directions, either to be kachay mizbech or to be kachay Bedek HaBayis. We're not going to be focusing on Kachim Bedek HaBayis. Let's talk about that briefly first, and we'll return our focus to Kachim Mizbech. Kachim Bedek HaBayis is when you set aside something to be used for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. We read about in the Haftarah a couple weeks ago. Literally, Bedek HaBayis are the cracks in the house. L'chazek is Bedek HaBayis, is the language in Sefer Melachim. To reinforce the cracks in the house, that became a term. Bedek HaBayis is that which is set aside for the maintenance and upkeep and renovation of the Beis HaMikdash structure. Reb Chaim, the stencils. Later in Bava Kamma, Perek Meruba, Reb Chaim points out that there's a significant distinction, very fundamental distinction, between Kachay Bedek HaBayis and Kachay Mizbech. Kachay Mizbech is what we're going to be focusing on when you set aside something to be used as a carbon to be brought on the Mizbech. The Reb Chaim points out, based on Gemara and Meruba, the Kachay Bedek HaBayis is really a question of ownership. There's a fund. There's a halachically charred corporation called Hekdesh, the Beis HaMikdash Incorporated. And when I set aside money or building materials or some other item to be used Bedek HaBayis, that means it no longer belongs to me. It now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash has trustees, the Gizbarim, the Gabaim, who handle intake and outlay and allocation and auctioning it off. Or usually, 9 times out of 10, if you set aside items to be used, L'Kachay Bedek HaBayis, the upkeep Beis HaMikdash is going to be auctioned and turned into liquid cash. Then they'll use to buy materials or to pay workers or whatever the other needs of the Beis HaMikdash are. So that's really, it's a change in ownership. It's a hakna'a that you have near the end of, in the second half of the first parak of Kiddushin, around Daf Chavav or so. Amiraso le'gevo kemisiras le'hegyad. The Tanaim tell us that when you say, I raise that le'bedek HaBayis, you verbally designate something as being Kodesh le'bedek HaBayis, that's a hakna. usually lehedyot to another person, you need mesira. Yeah, I actually have to do some sort of ma'aser kinyan. If I just say this pen is yours, Noam, it doesn't make it yours. You have to do some sort of ma'aser kinyan. I have to have das. I have to have made the decision to be machnit to you. But there also needs to be some ma'aser that seals the deal. Amirasa legavoah kim mesiras lehedyot. When you machnit something lebet kabai, is the amira alone legavoah. Saying that this is going to belong to Mikdash is the equivalent of actual Mesir, actual Ma'aser Kinyan, to a Hedyot, to another human being. So that's Kadshei Bedek Havayis. That's the actual Hakna, and no longer belongs to me. It now belongs to Mikdash. The other type of Hekdash is our primary focus, is Kadshei Mizbeach. And that's when you set aside something to be used as or towards a Karban. Both of these types of hektish are hektish. Both these types of hektish are lend themselves to mi'ila, which is at the end, a parsha at the end of this week's lenin, of the end of Vayikra. If I abuse hektish, if I use my own purposes, or I seek to sell it away to someone else, say I could violate mi'ila and be subject to the parsha of mi'ila, which again has its own unique rules and regulations. I may have to pay. I may have to pay with a penalty. I may also have to bring a karban asham. A me'ila could be relevant potentially to both types of hektish lamizbeach, but they are very different. As we were saying before, hektish lebedek habayis is actually a change of ownership. No longer belongs to me, it belongs to Hektish Incorporated. While when makdish something lamizbeach, it's as the Gemara says in Bava Kamma in Perek Meruba, may karatura deruvein v'hashta tura deruvein. It was initially Ruvain's shar, and it's still Ruvain's shar. You still own it. But it's very kadosh. As a result of its kedusha, and it's true for several items, as a result of its kedusha, I'm going to be severely limited in what I can do with it. So much so that something might look as though it doesn't belong to me. Because when something that doesn't belong to me, I'm obviously very severely limited in how I can use it. Because to use it in a way that the Baalim are unhappy with is an act of geneva. Shol shlomi das gazan havi. It can't wantonly use someone else's item. But even when it is mine, we understand the mezuzah, sefer Torah, it's mine, it may be mine, but obviously I'm severely limited how I can use it because of its kedusha. The carbon sometimes even more so. So much so it might look as though it doesn't belong to him, but it still does. May kara tur deruvein, v'hasha tur deruvein, hektish la mizbeach is not an act of hakna, but it's an act, it's endowing it with kedusha that will allow it to be used, as I said before, either as or towards a carbon. Let's talk about that for a moment, as versus towards. Because the Gemara points out that there's another distinction, which sometimes gets confused with this, so let's clarify, it's an important point. Within the world of kachem mizbeach, that when I makdish something la mizbeach, I can makdish something to one of two degrees. It could get merely kedushas damim, kedusha of value, of money, or it can have the full kedushas aguf, the item, the guf, the item itself becomes kadosh. If I take something, if a fellow takes his watch or takes his car and says, kar zeh la'ola, kar zeh l'shlamim, bike zeh la'asham, what does that mean? We'll get in a moment to some more of the details of what can be brought as a carbon, but I assume you've figured out by now that cars and bikes are not kosher to be used as carbonos. So if I say, I have a non-kosher animal, and I say, a fellow owns an elephant, and he says he wants his elephant to be kadosh, if he says he wants the elephant to be kadosh, so we might assume a non-kosher animal, most likely he meant kadosh lebedek habayis. And what are they going to do with an elephant in the Beis HaMikdash? They'll sell it to the highest bidder, and within whatever the law dictates in terms of selling elephants, and you'll convert the elephant into liquid cash, and then the Beis HaMikdash will use the Gaboy Beis HaMikdash, the Gizbarim, will use that money towards the needs of Bedek HaBayis. But if I specify that this elephant should be kadosh la'ola, I can't actually bring an elephant as a carbon ola, but what I can do is, instead of having, as I just described before, kedushas damim lebedek habayis, that they're going to turn it into money, use the money for bedek habayis purposes, I'll have kedushas damim lamizbeach. I still own the elephant, but I'm no longer allowed to use it until I convert it into cash, and then that cash becomes the Kedusha transfers onto the money, and then we can use that money and probably get the proceeds of selling an elephant are probably pretty significant. So I'll have a lot of money to buy a very, very, very nice animal, cow, sheep, what have you, to bring as a carbon ol. So that's Kedushas Damim. We have an item that's clearly unfit to be brought as a carbon. So then when I say this item should be used, should be Kaddish, Kedushas carbon, what I really mean is Kedushas Damim Lamas Bech. It retains a certain degree of Kedusha until I am poded onto cash. But if I have an item which is Roi Lamas Bech, I have an animal, it's a simple case, I have an animal which Kashal Mizbeach, it's the right species, and it's not a Balmum, let's say, a simple case. So I have Behema Tama, and I say Of Tam, and I say this should be, I have a bag of flour, I say this should be used for the following carbon, this animal should be an Asham, this bag of flour should be Lamincha, so now it's not Kedushas Dabin, that's actually Kedushas Haguf Mizbeach. The item itself is kadosh. I can't just be poted. It's now the kedusha is locked into item itself. This animal is supposed to be brought as an ola, as an asha, whatever I specified. This bag of flowers get brought as a karba mincha. Even if animal gets a mum, I have the right to be poted. Once it has kedusha as a guf la mizbech, the kedusha as a guf will never fully leave it. That's pesukim later in chumash. I believe in parshas re'eh. That's what we call pesulei hamukdashim. If it originally had it was a kosher animal. A tam without a mum, and that was makdashet kedushas aguf lamizbech, and then it got a mum. So typically, most of the time, it got a mum. I have the right to be poted, but it'll be psul and mikdash. I have the right to, if I'm poted, so I have the right to eat it. I won't have the right to use it for other things. I won't have the right to shecht and eat it, but not, let's say, to shear the wool and so on and so forth. It retains a certain residual level of kedushas aguf. Now, what sorts of things can be used as karbanos, and what sorts of karbanos are there, and what do I do if something is a karban? What do I do with it? So the sorts of things that can be brought as karbanos, typically we think about animals, kosher behemoths specifically, not chayos, but kosher behemoths, like cattle or seh, which includes both sheep and goats, the three minim of behemos ksheros, behemos taros, and two particular species of birds that the Chumash tells about, the Tor and the Ben Yonah. There are many, many kosher birds, but only those two specifically. And the Mishnayos and Chulin highlight also that there are age requirements for the birds. That's a unique twist with the birds. Ben Yonah means a young Yonah. Before the Mishnah discusses, it has to be up until a certain age, has to be an immature young Yonah. A Tor has to be an adult Tor. And then there's the carbon. The third major type of carbon in terms of the material that you're bringing is a carbon mincha. Carbon mincha consists of flour. The vast majority of the time it's wheat flour. Rarely we use barley flour instead. Most carbonous mincha also involve oil. There are exceptions to that. And most carbonous mincha also get sprinkled with a spice called lavona. And there are exceptions to that as well. But carbon mincha is always flour-based, typically wheat flour. Typically with inclusion of oil and some lavona sprinkled on top. The Pesukim in the sixth parasha talk about many different ways you can prepare, many different recipes, what you can do with flour and oil, different types of, I can specify, I want to bring this type of a pancake, I want to bring a waffle, I want to bring something more oily, less oily, different types of carbonous mincha. And then there are those sort of the rarer types of nedavos, I keep minadev. Why we do pour wine on the mizbech? That happens with many carbonos are accompanied by many animal carbonos are accompanied by a small mincha and wine poured on the mizbech. For 1 week a year on sukkahs, they would also pour water on the mizbech, nisuch hamayim, in addition to the daily nisuch hayayin. And not only is wood used on the Mizbeach as fuel, but you can be menadev directly that you want to bring a nedava of wood. But so wine, water, and wood. But the typical, when you think of karbanos, typically we think about behema, of, and mincha. And behema, of, and mincha also are the ones that have the more common structure of the four avodos. So let's talk about that right now in terms of what the basic process that you do with a carbon. There can be many, many steps to to bring in a carbon, but there are four absolutely critical ones. Let's first talk about the sort of the skeleton, as it were, the main axis. Then we can branch out a little bit into some of the other pieces as well. The main four avodos, and let's talk first in terms of the most typical case, is the animal. So if you have an animal, a cow, a sheep, a goat, again, the age and gender depends. The deep silk can talk about different types of carbons. We'll talk about different types of carbons in a moment. But assuming you have the right animal for the job, you have the right animal to be an olah, the right animal to be a shlomen, to be an ashram, whatever it is, whatever sort of carbon you're bringing, when you bring an animal carbon, so there are four key avodos, and they have parallels by Of and Mincha as well. The four key avodos, the Arba Avodos Adam, are Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. That's shechting the animal. Kabbalah is catching the blood in a kli sharis. You have to use a. You can't use. You can't even bring a Ziploc container from home. You can't even bring a golden bowl from home. You have to use a kli sharis, a bowl that is kadosh, to catch the blood that's spurting out of the animal that was just shechted. That's step number two. Then the blood gets walked over to the mizbeach holacha, and finally that blood is applied to the mizbeach. We call it zrik. Usually, the most common form of application is zrika. You take the blood and you toss it. Take the cup of blood and you toss it, and it flies against the mizbech, typically against the corner of the mizbech. So you get to cover two different sides of the mizbech. Mizbech is square. Cover two different sides of the mizbech at once. If you, if from saying Ezeo Makomo, you're no doubt familiar with the terminology of shtayim shein arba. The most typical style of zrikas adam al mizbech is to do two zrikos on two opposite corners of mizbech. So each zrika covers two sides, because it spreads to two different sides. You go in the opposite corner as well, you've covered with two acts of zrika, you've covered all four sides of mizbech. That's why it's shtayim shein arba, two acts of zrika, which cover together the four walls of mizbech. The carbon chatas has its own unique style of application of dam. You have to do on the top half of mizbech instead of standing on the floor. You do actually on the karnos on his back, and you do typically with your finger. You dip into the container of blood and you rub your finger instead of tossing it. You rub your finger, make a streak of blood on each of the four horns of his back. Every once in a while, you have a unique type of chatas, a chatas pnimis, that's brought inside the Beis HaMikdash building rather than in the outer, in the open air courtyard in the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Then it has its own unique style of Hazan, Matana, and so on and so forth. And on the other hand, some of the Kachikachim, you don't even have even less than Shtayim Shein Arba. Karbon Chatas is four separate Matanos, on the top of the Mizbeach with your finger, Matan Etzba. Typical Karbon has, you stand on the floor level of the Azara, and you toss the blood at the bottom half of the Mizbeach in the two opposite corners, Shtayim Shein Arba. Then Bechor Maaser and Pesach, the Mishnah tells us, don't even require two matanas, they only require one matana. You only require a zrika, you just need shvicha. You just have to pour some of the blood on the foundation that wraps around most of the perimeter of the mizbech, the yisod. So whatever the details are of how you apply the dam, and again, zrika is the most common application method of applying the dam to the mizbech, but those are the four steps. Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. We call them the Arba Avodos Hadam, because what they really represent are the process of isolating the dam from the rest of the animal and getting it to where it needs to be on the Mizbech. Those four Avodos are absolutely critical. And you're not Yotzei Karbon without those four Avodos. And as you begin to learn Zvachim, you learn that there are other detailed dinim of Kachim as well that apply specifically to those four Avodos. For instance, the first topic in Seder Kachim, in Seches Zvachim, is the number of different rules of what your intent has to be. Karbonos are very sensitive to procedural, behavioral details, also very, very sensitive to intent, to machshava. And there are a couple of several different inappropriate plans that you might have in mind that could render the carbon pasul, or even worse, pigul. If I intend to use it as the wrong carbon, that may partially or fully disqualify. We call that shinui hashem, shinui kodesh. Or if I intended to have an ola that I plan to bring as an ashem, so that's a little bit of a problem. I have a chatas I plan to bring as an ola. It's a big problem. Another type of inappropriate intent is I plan to eat it outside of the area where I'm allowed to eat it. And we'll talk about that, what that area is. We'll talk about that in a little bit. That would make the carbon pasul. Or if I intend to eat it beyond the expiration date. Every carbon has an expiration date. We'll get to that soon as well. If I plan to eat the carbon after the expiration date, which is either tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, so that can make the carbon, it's a unique type of psul called pigul. All of these plans can ruin, partially or fully ruin the animal if I have this plan in mind when I do one of these four avodos adam. Shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika. And again, an example of halachic details that relate specifically to these four avodas. This is the key avoda of the carbon. There are other parts as well. Other parts are typically, though, not ma'akev. If you have not done these four avodos and done them properly, the carbon is absolutely not kasha. There's nothing to talk about. If I did the four avodos, I left out other parts. There are other steps before and after. Those are usually not li'ikuva. Example of, in other words, I haven't done the mitzvah fully, but I was still yotze, albeit imperfectly. What's an example? An example of a step that comes before is smicha. Of a samacha sedo, the baha karban is supposed to be somech on the, put two hands on the head of the karban and lean in full strength on the karban before, while it's still alive. It typically says a vidui then. That's part of the mitzvah of the carbon, but if you did not do smicha, the carbon was still, you were yotze, your chiv to bring a carbon. You didn't do the mitzvah properly, you're still yotze, your chiv, you don't have to bring a new carbon. An example of steps that come afterwards, the two major steps, or two major processes that come after zrikas hadam al gabim mizbeach are achilas hedyot and achilas gavoa. Most karbanos have a part that's meant to be consumed by human beings, either by kohanim or by anyone or by some combination of a kohanim and anyone. An ola, as you know, is an exception. And there are some karbanos mincha also, which we treat like an ola and burn fully. And it's sometimes the case by the majority of karbanos have a part that's meant to be eaten by people. The majority of karbanos have a murin. A murim are the part that's meant to be burnt on his bech, certain chela fats, some are certain organs. But for most karbanos, again, excluding the karbon ola and so forth, for most karbanos, there's a murim, which is chela kavoa, that's meant to be burnt on his bech. And then there's the part that's meant to be eaten by people. So both of those steps, haktaras a murim al gabin his bech, or by karbon ola, burning the whole thing, practically gabin his bech, burning the basar as well, and the step of achilas hedyot, so those are part of the mitzvah. If you leave either or both out, you haven't been yotze the mitzvah fully, but you still have been yotze the mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa, yotze the chi of carbon. Carbon Pesach, when you learn as we get closer to Pesach, most of Kachem is in Kachem, but there are chunks of Kachem that appear in Seder Moed. And Rosari likes to point out there's a unique flavor to the Kachem that's in Moed. Each one, the Avodos Yom Kippurim has its own unique flavor, and Karm Pesach has its own unique flavor, and then there are sort of smaller parts of Kachem and Chagiga and so forth. And one of the striking aspects of the Karm Pesach is that the human consumption is far more critical than by other Karbanos. Whereas by other Karbanos, the main focus is really the Avodos Adam, and the subsequent Achilas Mizbeach and Achilas Hedyot is part of the mitzvah, but not critical. There are a number of dinim by Karm Pesach that reflect the fact that that the achilas ha-pesach is very, very central to the very essence of the carbon. By Karm Pesach, something to keep in mind over the course of the preparation, the Shloshim Yom Karm Achag, that will begin in just a few weeks leading up to Pesach. So those are the four avodas hadam. Again, by the birds, there are parallels. You, instead of doing shechita, do malika. And then the other steps also are somewhat unique. Loosely parallel to avodas hadam. By carbon mincha, there's no blood. a carbon mincha, though, there is still a chelak that has to go on the mizbeach. That's actually the komets. Kohen is supposed to take a handful, as the Pesukim tells us in the sixth parsha, takes actually a handful with the middle three fingers. You wipe off the edges with the thumb and the pinky, and that what's caught inside those middle three fingers is a komets. It's the taking the komets is equivalent of shechita. Then you put the komets into a second kli sharis. That's the equivalent of Kabbalah's Hadam. Then you have Hagashi, you walk it over to Mizbeach. And finally, the Haktar, you burn, you don't throw the komets on the side of Mizbeach, you burn it on the fire. Now, that's an interesting quasi-parallel. Because, well, by a animal carbon, by animal carbon, the burning of Mizbeach is not the Avodas Hadam, it's subsequent, that's a Murin. By the carbon mincha, burning the komets is the equivalent of the Zrika. Burning the komets is absolutely critical, absolutely ma'ake, because burning the komets by the mincha does not parallel haktaras emurim by the behema. Burning the komets parallels zrikas hadam by the behema. If you're learning the dichui sugya, the kachim sugya, in the first later in the, deeper into the first parak of Bava Kama, I should mention that Yosef Engel, in his Shechter quotes Yosef Engel in his Chosen Yosef, which is his Ha'aris on the Avni Miluim. Avni Miluim is the Ktsos wrote Ktsos HaChoshen on Choshen Mishpat and Avni Miluim on Evan Ha'ezer. I can't say that Chosen Yosef is what Yosef Engel wrote on Avni Miluim because apparently he didn't write it. He dictated it because I think he had some sort of eye surgery as he got older. And he, for a while, he was when he was recuperating, he couldn't read Svarim, recuperating from eye surgery. So he wanted to learn. So he had people read Svarim to him. And then he would speak, as he would start talking. He would give Haaris, and they were transcribing them. So apparently, he had someone at one point read Avni Luim to him, which is, again, not a simple sefer to read. And he's just lying there listening and starts spouting Haaris. So they would start writing down the Haaris, they numbered them. Now, the Chosen Yosef, they're missing a lot of missing numbers. Because apparently, after he fully recuperated, he was able to read what they had written down. And so he decided after a while, a couple of the Haaris he didn't even need, on second thought, he didn't want to publish. So he gave me like Aleph Beis Gimel Hey, Vav Zayin Tes, Yud Beis, something like that. I don't know, those aren't necessarily the numbers, but you get the flavor of things. So he has these Haaris that he was like thinking of as he's recuperating from eye surgery, listening to someone reading Avni Miluim to him. So I believe he quotes the Markavis HaMishnah, one of the classical Nosei Kelim of the Rambam, who develops the idea we said before that there are two levels of Kedusha, of Kedusha's Mizbeach, right? While Kachei Berak HaBayis are almost invariably Kedusha's Damim, Kachei Mizbeach, sometimes I'm after something, it merely becomes Kedusha's damim, but if I mach just typically I mach something on his back, it actually gets Kedusha's agof right away. But there still is an even higher level of Kedusha than Kedusha's agof, and that's what the Makrevis of Mishnah calls Kedusha's carbon. That's the added level of Kedusha that the animal takes on when you actually shecht it. When you begin the Dal Avos Hadam, it's not just an animal that's set aside to be a carbon, it's actually being a carbon. So it gets to what, not only does it have Kedusha Guf, now it even has Kedusha's Damim. For instance, Pidyon is no longer, and there are several Nafkaminas in the high level of Kedusha. Pidyon is no longer possible. There are new Psulim that apply to it. While when the animal was alive, it didn't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Once you shecht it, there's a psul yotzi. If you take it out of the zone it's allowed to be in, it'll become pasul. Right? There's also not only a spatial zone, there's, as we said before, a temporal zone. Right? It's going to expire after a day or two. That clock starts ticking once you shecht it. Because that's when it has this even higher level of Kedusha's carbon. And as a result of its increased Kedusha, it's more susceptible to psulim that did not apply before. Nosar was not a psul before. Yotze was not a psul when it had merely Kedusha's aguf. Now that Kedusha's carbon, it has a psul nosar if it's left out too long. It has a psul yotze if it's taken outside of its spatial geographical boundaries. And I think it's a Chosin Yosef who points out that there's another perhaps difference is the sugya later in the first paragraph of Bava Kamma. The Gemara talks about getting too involved in the details there. The Gemara talks about the concept of dichoy. Dichoy is a discussion about whether can a carbon recover from a temporary psul. Should I say that once it was pushed away, even if the original factor that pushed it away is resolved, maybe can it ever come back? Maybe sometimes yes and sometimes not. So the Gemara has a line. The Gemara has several questions about what are the parameters of dicha. How far does this idea, how broadly does this idea apply that once it became even temporarily possible, it could never come back to kashrus again? So one of the issues the Gemara raises is maybe we should say ein balei chayim nidchem. Maybe dicha doesn't apply to live animals. Okay, why? Not 100% clear. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Chosin Yosef points out a ritva in Kiddushin. Maybe it's not a sugi bav kama. Maybe it's in Kiddushin. Gotta take a look. Ritva in Kiddushin has a line where he says that he given examples of all the different rules the Gemara was giving. One of his examples of balei chayim nidchim is a korban mincha, kodem kemitza. Korban mincha is not alive; it's flour, it's oil. What's going on? So these Achronim point out, no. Balei chayim nidchim doesn't do with it's actually alive or not. Balei chayim means pre kedusha, but an animal carbon or pre shchita, a bird carbon pre malika is alive. But what's relevant for dicha purposes is the fact that it's alive indicates it has not yet begun the dalat avodos. It doesn't yet have kedushas carbon, and just as it's not yet susceptible to noser or yotze, perhaps it's also not yet susceptible to the concept of dichoy. Well, the equivalent by a karmincha is pre kemitza. So I mean, perhaps that's what the point that this Ritvan Kiddushin may think is that it has nothing to do with being alive per se. Probably not all of Rishonim agree with this, but it seems like Ritva seems to think it doesn't do with being alive, has to do with having nearly Kiddushas Haguf because it's pre-Dalet Avodos as opposed to already having Kiddushas Karbon. So again, these are a number of the ideas that flow from the very, very core notion of the Dalet Avodos Hadam, or the equivalent by carbon mincha. Again, these are the key process of a carbon. No carbon is kosher, unless we're talking about, yayin or etzim. No standard carbon, behema o for mincha, is kosher without the dalat avodos. And as we said before, dalat avodos are not only what's always ma'akev, but also various other dinim, nosar, yotze, dichay perhaps, flow and are connected to this concept of the Dalet Avodos, specific of the Kedushas Karbon, that the beginning of the Dalet Avodos endows the carbon with. Now let's just close by talking a little bit, well, we could spend a long time talking about the varieties of Karbanos. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to have the very ancient Jewish minhag, well over 1,000 years old, to spend a couple of minutes talking about this every single morning. Perek Ezel Makomon is the fifth chapter of Maseches Vachim. And the old minhag that the Gaonim already record in their Sidurim of reciting Ezel Makomon. Why do we recite Ezel Makomon? So in part the Gaonim say to ensure that everyone learns a little bit of the different aspects of Torah every single day. So if you're not planning to learn Mishnayos today, at least you'll learn Mishnayos over the course of the beginning of Shacharis. If you're not planning to learn Chumash today, at least you Shema, Karban Talmud. Or you're planning to only learn Chumash Mishnayos, Tanakh Mishnayos. Not planning to learn any Talmud. So you have the Brice of Yigil Mido, Shatari Rosh Hashanah, which is the introductory paragraph to the Sifra, to the Medrash Halachan Vayikra. So that's a taste of Talmud. Because the Gemara Kiddushin tells us that you need to, your learning time needs to be diversified. You have to have time allocation, diversify your time across Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, so you get at least even if you're not going to be balanced over the course, balanced diet of the course of the day, at least you begin with a little bit of each. But it's not, we don't, that explains why we learn a parak of Mishnayos. There are well over 500 parak of Mishnayos to choose from. We consistently every day have a old Minig Yisrael to learn to review Ezer Makomon. So why Ezer Makomon? So some say because Ezer Makomon has no machlokas in it whatsoever. Okay. So that's intriguing. Some suggest that it may be an unusually old parak of Mishnayis, and that's why. As evidence number by the fact that it has no machlokas. As evidence also the age of that parak. You notice right away there's a very unique structure. It's very unlike the normal flow, the normal prose structure of Mishnayos, of case and din and case and din and case and machlokas and case and din. And it doesn't read that way at all. Very, very structured. It's reminiscent a little bit of the structure of some of the early prakim of Masachas Nagan, as an aside. We'll look into that as well. It seems like there's also something going on with the first prakim, the first few prakim, and then the rest of Nagan in terms of, you know, different styles, and according to this approach to Ezer Makomon, maybe also different ages of the different prakim of Nagoyim. But beyond what's unique about Ezer Makomon in terms of structure and age, and it may go back to a very ancient time, also as evidenced by the language of Lefnim and HaKla'im. Some Mefarshim suggest that Kla'im, curtains, it sounds like we're harking back to the days when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash. Before they had the walls up, Tanam tells us they had to put up curtains. Remarkable. That's a Mishnayos and Adios, Gemara Megillah. So all those three factors, the lack of machlokas and the style of the Mishnayos and the term klah may indicate that it's a very, very ancient parak of Mishnayos. But in addition to the fact that it's very ancient and that it has no machlokas, is of course the fact that it's a fulfillment of what we talked about before we began with the Mishalim Parm Shvaseinu. To review, and that's why Rabbeinu Yona writes in Brachas, Rav Shechter likes to quote this, and comes up the opening siman of Shulchan Aruch, siman Arachayim, siman Aleph, there may be a din daraisa to say Karbanos every day, based on Mishalim Parm Shvaseinu, based on the conversation that Chazal record between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu, Abamah Eda Ki Rashana, I don't know that Klai Yisrael, what Tzchus will Klai Yisrael have? Tzchus are Karbanos. Well, if they don't have Karbanos, so Emer Lufanai, they should say Karbanos. This is very significant. Very significant in terms of all these mitzvahs that come in the upcoming parashas that we have not gotten to do in close to 2,000 years. We hope and pray. We will eventually do them again. We hope and pray that time will be soon. Means we know Mashiach is coming. We don't know when. We hope he's coming soon. We don't know that he's coming soon. We know he's coming sooner or later, and we hope and pray that it'll be sooner. So sooner or later, we'll get to practice these mitzvahs once again. Until then, Neshalim Parm Sefaseinu. So I, as an aside, I would suggest the minimal amount of karbanos that a Jew should say is probably the parsha of Karban Tamid and the Mishnah of Ola, which is what the Karban Tamid was. That's probably the bare minimum for karbanos. Rabbi Neuberger has this idea of to try to expand a little bit to rotate through over the course of the week. And so the different ways, so that, let's say at least once a week you see every Mishnah in Ezer Makomon. The different ways to organize that. One way to organize that would be there are eight Mishnayos in Ezer Makomon, so every single day to say Ola and one other Mishnah. So Sunday you say the first Mishnah and Ola, and Monday you say the second Mishnah and Ola, and so on and so forth, until on Shabbos you say Ola and the eighth Mishnah, B'char Maaser HaPesach. So over the course of the week, you don't have time to say it every day, which is Kedai, at least you should be, at least every single Mishnah you say once a week, you'll have some familiarity with the world of Karbanos. Let's close with just to touch very, very lightly on the variety of karbanos within the karbanos behema. It's important to know that number one, karbanos break down overall into two major groups, kachim and kachim kalim. All karbanos are holy, but not all karbanos are equally holy. They're all holy, but some are holier than others. That's not a joke, that's actually true. So a carbon kachim kalim, the less kadosh karbanos are basically shlamim and shlamim variations. Like there's a unique, and that's how the last, the latter four The second half of Ezeh Makomon is the carbon toda is a shlamim with certain added features, added bread that comes along with it, and it's more limited in terms of time. And the El Nazir is the carbon shlamim that the Nazir brings at the end of a successful period of Naziris. Again, is a shlamim with certain added features. So the last, right, the last three Mishnayos in Ezeh Makomon. Toda and El Nazir, and then the classic Shlamim is, of course, Kachim Kalim, and then Bechor, Maser Behema, and Karim Pesach are also similar to the Shlamim in certain ways and different in certain ways. Those are all the Kachim Kalim, as opposed to Chatas, Ola, Asham, and Karim Mincha, which are Kache Kachim. What distinguishes Kache Kachim and Kachim Kalim? So number one, the place where you do the avoda, the shechita of kachay kachim, has to take place on the northern half of the azara, while the shechita of kachim kalim could take place anywhere in the azara. What's special about the northern half? Bitzafon. So if you think about it, when you Shecht once pointed out in a chumash here, I believe, if you're in the Beis Hamikdash, face in the azara, facing the heichal and the kodesh hakadoshim, meaning facing west, the tzafon is to your right. What this really is Yamin. Yamin is often critical in Karbanos. So you were saying that the right-hand half of the Azara is considered to be more Chashuv. So Kachim Kachim require Avoda in the Yamin, in the Tzafon, whereas Kachim Kalim, it's Tzafon or Dharm, it's all okay. And the way in which you eat the Karbanos, they are different as well. Number one, the Kachim Kachim, if they're eaten at all, Chatas, Asham, and most Karbanos Mincha can only be eaten that day. Meaning, you bring a carbon, if you brought carbon today, if we could be zoch to bring carbon right now, Sunday at 12:26 in the afternoon, so you have the right to have what the Mishnah has referred to as Yom Valayla Ad Chatzos. You have today and tonight. In Karbanos, unlike the rest of Halacha, the day is defined not as night and then day, but day and the night. The day in Karbanos goes until Alos HaShachar, goes until up until the beginning of the next morning. You have the right to eat a carbon for a day, meaning all throughout this afternoon into the night. Midrabanan, you're supposed to finish it up by Chatzos. First Mishnah in Shas. Talks about that in the context of Haktaras Emur, that Gezer of Ad Chatzos. Kachim Kalim, occasionally you have such a rule that it's Yom V'Layla, but typically Kachim Kalim are Karban Pesach is even more limited. Typically, Kachim Kalim, you have Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad. You brought the Kachim Karban Shlamim today, or Bechor, or Maser, I can eat it today, Sunday, and tonight, Sunday night, and all throughout tomorrow, Monday morning and Monday afternoon, up until the end of Monday. So Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kachim are typically, though not always, different in terms of when you can eat them. They are always different in terms of where you can eat them and who can eat them. Where you can eat them, Kachim Kalim can be eaten throughout the city of Yerushalayim. At the Karban Pesach, there are Jews where they would mock of the Karban Pesach, for instance, in the Beis HaMikdash, but then you would spread out throughout Yerushalayim and find a place to eat with your Chabura. And Kachim Kalim are eaten by Kohanim and non-Kohanim alike. Many Kachim Kalim have a certain part that's specific to given to the Kohanim. But certainly much, if not all of it, is eaten by any Jew who's eligible to eat Karbanos, who's Tahar, who has a Mila, if he's male, and so on and so forth. Well, Kachim, the Chatas, the Asham, the Karban Mincha, are eaten only by Zichrei Kuhuna, only by male Kohanim, and only in the Azara itself. It's a remarkable thing. You imagine walking into the Beis HaMikdash, what do you imagine you would see? You imagine you see a lot of blood. You imagine you have this towering Mizbech, and beyond it, the towering building. And you see people be mocked. You see the fire and the Mizbech, and there be mocked parts of Mizbech, and on the side, you see Kohanim having a flesh exuda, sitting and eating flesh. You didn't expect to see that. You might also not have expected to see the Sanhedrin there. Sanhedrin also had to meet in a chamber. The part of where the area they sat was Kadosh B'Kedushas Azara. They were supposed to be near the Mizbech. That's another discussion for another time, to think about their connection between Mizbeach and Sanhedrin, between Karbanos and Justice. But they're also, for now, are focused on, look at that knot of Kohanim over there having a barbecue. How does that fit in? So the Gemara Darshan's based on a pasuk we read several weeks ago, V'achlu osam asher kupar bahem, I believe it's in Parshas Tetzaveh. V'achlu osam asher kupar bahem, the Gemara says, that means that Kohanim ochlim ubailim miskaprim. When the Kohanim eat the korban, that's part of the kapara of the bailim. In other words, it's like haktaras emurim. It's a non-essential part of the efficacy of the korban. That's why it's an avoda. That's why it's only done by male Kohanim, and by kachem kalim, even the chelak ha-kohanim can be eaten by both men and women. But here it's only male Kohanim, because only male Kohanim are allowed to perform Avoda, and only in the Azara. Not all of Yerushalayim, because this is an act of Avoda. Eating the Chatas, eating the Asham, eating the Karban Mincha is a part of the Avodas HaKarban. It's not the aftermath of the Karban. That is part of the Avodas HaKarban. It's done by Zichra Kuna in the Beis HaMikdash. And maybe that's a good concept with which to close. Because that's really what all of Karbanos captures. One of the themes, there are many themes, I had a chance to learn with some of you over the course of the last couple of weeks. Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Tzadi Hei, Mitzvah Asiyas HaMikdash, surveys one of the major themes of Mikdash and Karbanos. But one of the many themes that emerges is a recognition that you can be Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Gashmias. That Avos Hashem can take place not only through the mind and the heart, but through the body and the hands and the mouth as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity and the expectation that it's not only the overtly spiritual things which are turned towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations and uplifted by a spiritual focus. Everything, the eating and the drinking, eating flesh, having a barbecue can be something that a Jew does in the Beis HaMikdash as a chelak of kapar for a chet. The fact that it allows for that potential tells us something very powerful about any eating in any place by any Jew. The potential is there for us to capture. So just to summarize again very briefly, where we have been. We spoke about the notion of bimaktish something, which is almost invariably the first step in a karban, but bimaktish something is even broader than karbanos. So you can maktish something la mizbech, you can makdash something lebeda kabayis, and it's actually a hakna to hekdash incorporated, or you can makdash something la mizbeach, you retain ownership, hashtad me karo tur deruven, hashtad tur deruven, but it's infused with kedusha because of its designated purpose and mission. And then, if it's not roy la mizbeach, roy la carbon, it will get merely kedushas damim la mizbeach, but if it is roy la carbon, it will get kedushas haguf la mizbeach. And we said roy la carbon could be something less typical, like yain or mayim or etzim, or more typical, behema or of or mincha. And we did not, obviously, some of those are only carbonous tzibur, and some of those are even carbonous yachid, a distinction we didn't really focus on much, although this is the month of giving machzah shekel. And then we spoke about what you do, the basics of what you do with a behema, of or mincha, is the dal avodos adam, or the dal avodos of the komets. Either way, separating, isolating the chelik gavoa and applying it properly to the mizbeach. And then we spoke a little bit about the kedushas karban, that the shechita or the melika or the kemitza commences, and the added level of kedusha and the added susceptibility to psul that kedushas karban brings with it. To psul nosar, to psul yotze, perhaps to dichuim, in balechaim nidchim. Then we close by talking a little bit about the different types of karbanos. In general, the difference between kachim and kachim kalim in terms of where the avoda is done and the different parameters of where and how and who eats the karban. Obviously, within each category, there are more, unique differences between the chatas and the asham and the ola and so forth, between the shlamim and the el nazir. And again, this hopefully was an orientation, basic structure of some of the key concepts you're going to come across, scaffolding that you can then now use, Mirtz Hashem, learning Parshas, Vayikra, and Tzav, and learning Mishnais and Masechtas of Kachem going forward. Chevra, thank you so much for calling in, for coming in, for calling in. Have a remarkable day.